On behalf of Bishop Kelly, Bishop Carroll, Bishop Sante, all the priests, sisters, brothers, and seminarians, I want to wish you all a most blessed and most happy Christmas. The epistle for the first Mass is taken from the Epistle to St. Titus, chapter 2. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that, denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time there went forth a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This first enrollment was made by Cyrenius, the governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his espoused wife, who was with child. And it came to pass that when they were there, her days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him up in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in that same country shepherds watching and keeping the night watches over their flock. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the brightness of God shone round them, and they feared with a great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all the people. For this day is born to you in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men of goodwill." And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all the people. For this day is born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Words taken from the Gospel of Midnight Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, my dear faithful, I am going to prove to you that I am Irish, in case the name Buckley didn't already. Because though it is Christmas, I'm going to tell you a story about St. Patrick, a Christmas story. St. Patrick is, of course, famous for being the Apostle of Ireland, but he was not actually born there. According to most accounts, he was born in England, and he studied for the priesthood in France. As a boy, he was captured by Irish marauders who brought him to Ireland as a slave. He then escaped with divine help and fled back to his homeland, England. Arriving home, he almost immediately decided to become a monk. And not just a monk, but he decided to become a great monk, a great saint. And so he left England to go to France, to live under Saint Martin of Tours, who was already renowned for his great sanctity at that time. Now, we do not know exactly what time of year he left England, but we do know that St. Patrick arrived near the monastery of St. Martin of Tours right around Christmas time. And it was night when St. Patrick arrived near the monastery. And between him and the monastery lay the river Loire. No doubt St. Patrick was tired from his day's travels through the snowy forest and freezing wind. Thus he laid down for the night right in the snow under one of the trees on the banks of the river. He chose this tree, which happened to be a plum tree, because it was more of a low bush. He found a spot where he could rest his back, with the branches spreading out around him on each side. The tree's limbs thus offered some slight protection from the wind and the snow. This tree was not an evergreen, though, and so, just like all the trees around it, it was completely barren of leaves or flowers. But once St. Patrick lay down to rest under the tree shook the snow from its branches onto the ground, away from St. Patrick. Buds miraculously shot forth and in a short time grew into leaves. The tree even blossomed. White flowers replaced the snow that had just covered the tree. The leaves formed a sort of cave around St. Patrick, blocking the blasts of wintry wind and snow, as St. Patrick slept on that cold night. The next day, this great apostle of Ireland finished his journey to the monastery, and he began his preparation for the great task that lay ahead of him. After many years, he received the call from God to convert Ireland from paganism to the one true God. Though St. Patrick left France for Ireland, God saw fit to leave a memorial of St. Patrick's visit. For from that day until the tree was destroyed in the late 19th century, God renewed that miracle. For every year, from December 25th to January 1st, that one particular tree that sheltered St. Patrick bloomed in that same way. It didn't matter how cold the weather, how heavy the snows, how deep the frost. That same tree that St. Patrick laid his head under always had leaves and flowers for Christmas. Some had even taken clippings of this tree and planted them in other places. But though they would grow there, none of them ever budded or flowered during winter. In this story, my dear faithful, we see the tender care and concern God had for his saint. And that care and concern, that fatherly love, extends to all men. For on that first Christmas night, that winter night over 2,000 years ago, God gave to men a light in the darkness, the light of the world. A fire, the divine fire of the Sacred Heart, to enkindle the world and drive away the cold of sin, a Savior to free us from it. For 4,000 years before, mankind had waited for the Savior. They had longed for him to come, for sin held such sway over them. It was as if they dwelt in a perpetual winter, for the fire of the love of God was so difficult to keep. It was so easily extinguished from their hearts. So quickly they would fall from grace and turn their hearts cold with indifference to the one true God. But then, one night, men heard an angel. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, that shall be to all the people. For this day is born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The angels announced the birth of the Messiah, and peace filled those who heard it. This is the greatest miracle ever worked, that the infinite God should become a lowly man. As Isaiah put it, God let the earth be opened and bud forth a Savior. And he did this. The Son of God became man to save mankind, to save man from the winter of sin. It is almost beyond comprehension what happened that Christmas night. When Christ became incarnate, the infinite God became physically present on earth. And for the past 2,000 years, he has repeated this over and over on the altar. The same miracle on the first Christmas happens every day on the altar at the consecration. Christ is born again. Our Lord comes to us, body and blood, soul and divinity, and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. He even condescends to come down from the altar to each of us, in particular in Holy Communion. And just like that first Christmas, he is the appearances of such weakness. The infinite God hides himself under the appearances of a little wafer of bread, even more helpless than an infant. He hides his might, power, and majesty so that we will not fear to approach him. Just as when he came to earth, he came as a babe, not a great king, so that we would love him. When we receive Holy Communion, we physically receive the little host, the little Christ child, into our hearts. We shelter him there and give him a home. How our Lord longs to come to us, to warm himself with the fire of our love for him. If we could see him in the host, we would see him reach his arms out to us to find someone who will hold him lovingly to their heart. How cold the world is to him. Especially today, when so few love him or even believe in him. How few there are to give our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament the loving embrace for which he longs. And how rich the rewards this divine guest wants to give us. By Holy Communion, the infinite God unites himself with us to save us. At that moment, he floods our souls with the grace and strength we need to live our lives worthily for him. After the Mass, Holy Communion is the greatest source of grace to man, for it is God himself, the source of all grace, whom we receive as our guest. And so, my dear faithful, I encourage you to use your Holy Communion well this Christmas and throughout your life. Remember, when you receive the Blessed Sacrament, that you are holding our Lord as if Our Lady placed her newborn son in your arms. How lovingly, how tenderly you would hold the little Christ child if Our Lady gave him to you. How you would treasure that moment. And so too, we should cherish every moment we have our Lord sacramentally present within us. Make every effort to make the most of those brief moments. When you receive Holy Communion, focus your mind and heart on our Lord, imagine the Christ child there and speak to him. Give him your love and your adoration. Thank him for coming to you. And be sure to ask him for something, for he does love to be asked. Ask him especially to be your Savior, to give you the graces you need to overcome sin and fulfill the duties of your life. Do not let these precious moments be wasted by willful distractions. Do not turn your mind from the Christ child you hold in your heart. Instead, welcome him and shelter him by your attention and your devotion to him. Sometimes it will be difficult to drive away other thoughts, but then turn to Our Lady. Ask the Blessed Mother to help you. Beg her to give you that same love and ardor with which she received her divine Son. Living in this anti-Christian world, my dear faithful, where it can be so difficult to lead a Christian life, be comforted, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy. For this day is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christ meets for the most part only coldness in our world. His teachings have more and more open opposition. But be not troubled. Remember that God has done so much for you that he has even become man for you. He will take care of you and shelter you in this life and bring you unto everlasting life if only you turn to him. When he comes to you in Holy Communion, then, shelter our loving God, love our sweet Savior, and ask of him his saving grace. May God bless you, and may you have a happy and most blessed Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.